Up next, the news you can use from YAA.
It's your 30-minute fix for all your car questions,
industry news, and tips you can use when buying your next vehicle.
We're your hosts, Ray and Zach Shevska, the founders of YAA.
We're here every weekday, live at noon Eastern. Check us out at joinyaa.com. Come on! Get in! Well, it's a little afternoon here on the East Coast.
And don't give me that. I was 20 seconds late.
It's still a little afternoon here on the East Coast, and this is news that you can use from YAA with your host and Ray. How are you, Mr. Tardy?
Why'd you have to do that? It's literally, I'm not late at all. I'm not late. Like, the show is going on schedule, and you're still calling me out. Let's kick things off, Dad, with the news from Toyota. Also, we're going to tie this back in with there's a new report from Alex Partners. Our dear friends, Alex Partners, talking about the challenges that the industry is still going to face well throughout 2024. We talked about this just a touch yesterday, Dad, but also we'll put it into the context of the other data. Toyota's cutting their production. This is not good news. A month after we had 150,000 vehicles taken out of production, 50,000 more vehicles taken out for Toyota here this month or coming into July.
And that's just their prognostication as of, well, yesterday was the 22nd of...
I'm late. Your phone's going off. Even.
Oh, yeah, and it's on, what the hell's it on? Do not disturb. But it sends phone calls through even when it's on do not disturb.
Fascinating.
It is. Apparently, do not disturb does not mean do not disturb, at least on a Pixel. But anyway, what I was about to say is that, oh, for goodness sake, leave me alone. They want to let me know a package arrived, I'm sure. But the point is that they're saying this on the 22nd of June, which means They know that they'll be at least 50,000 units behind what they wanted to produce. And my guess is it'll probably end up being higher than that because there will be an adjustment to this statement, probably early to mid-July.
That's what happened last month. We initially started with, 100,000 and then went up to 150,000 vehicles taken out of production?
That is correct, yes. So I would suspect we'll see the same thing again. And I would also suspect that we will see similar announcements from other manufacturers as well.
And it is interesting. We talked about yesterday, like some manufacturers, BMW, for example, doing pretty well in terms of new inventory, new production. Then you look at like manufacturers like Toyota, Mazda, et cetera. We should get new inventory data in about 2.5 weeks. Like they're the ones that are struggling. So there's definitely a divergence in who's doing well and who's not right now.
That is correct. But my, this is just a guess. My guess is that BMW and Mercedes-Benz's situation at the moment is an aberration and is not a reflection of what the true reality is. And so that at a certain point in the not too distant future, we will probably see them having supply chain issues once again.
Which brings me, Dad, to this article that just came out in On Road News. Alex Partners predicts supply chain issues to last through 2024. And then there's also some interesting data in here about the fact that EVs actually cost more than ICE vehicles, but we've known that. So this is just another, you know, another consulting firm, another industry prognosticator saying, all right, you know what, that chip shortage is going to continue to linger. Maybe they actually talked to Mr. Igor Kosky of our community before they publish this. We know that he thinks this is going to drag on for a little bit longer as well.
They're the one group out there that says that it should last longer than what everybody else is saying. And I don't think that they're necessarily saying that it'll last longer because of chips primarily. They're seeing or suspecting that there'll be greater disruptions in the rest of the supply chain that the manufacturers utilize above and beyond just the chips. And, you know, they're to a certain degree, they're probably right. And then also, depending upon how severe the recession is, if indeed we have one, and the betting money is that we mm-hmm. will either have one or we were already in one. And that will also impact globally. It won't be just a U.S. recession. It's a global recession. So it depends how severe the recession is as to how that might impact the supply chains moving forward as well.
Yeah, definitely, Pops, definitely. Now, I'm reminded here, and I want to pull it up back on the screen, the push to EVs is very, very real.
Yes.
Look at this data, Dad.
I saw that. It was staggering. The sums of money that have been committed and the cost of materials. Okay. So the sum of money that's been committed by the manufacturers through 2026 to try and transition to EVs is $526 billion. Or we could just say a half a trillion. And, yeah. You know, I don't ever remember earlier in my lifetime talking about things in trillions of dollars. You know, billions seemed big enough. Suddenly, billions is not nearly enough. So with that level of commitment of a half a trillion dollars to be spent over the next 3 or 4 years, whether or not they can actually spend it's another story. Whether or not they can actually get their hands on it at a reasonable cost is another story. But if that story does play out, the transition to EVs is like an unstoppable train at this point.
Oh, absolutely. It entirely yes. is. Thanks, Igor. We appreciate always seeing you here. Yeah, and Pops, I want to actually think a little bit. We didn't talk about it earlier this week, but I want to talk about the used car market because it all ties back. It all ties back to what's going on in the new car market, the push to EV. And someone actually asked in the chat before we do that, is BMW reducing features to get cars through production? I think the answer to that is definitely yes.
My understanding is that they've pretty much reincorporated most of the features that really? Were in the car. That's my understanding. Now, I don't know for how long they'll be able to do that. I do know, you know, and I never really did check the production date of my Mini that I got at the end of May. But I'm going to suppose that it was probably produced either the end of April or the very beginning of May. And my vehicle, there were credits for two items that were supposed to be on the vehicle that were not on the vehicle.
Exactly.
One was an alarm, and the other was a heated steering wheel. But my understanding from talking to Chip is that the cars are coming in fully featured. But then again, he's on the used car side of things, so who knows?
All right, let's talk a little bit about the used car side of things, Dad. We had the Black Book market report come out earlier this week, and I'm going to tie this into an email you sent me with the By the Numbers section from Automotive News
just
the other day. But we saw the market stay pretty steady on the used car side of things.
Yes, we are not seeing any dramatic shifts at this point. It has been running on the total car segment has been running somewhere around the 20 basis points to 26 basis points. In other words, maybe
quarter of a point.
A quarter of a point. Trucks have been negligible, just barely over break even. And the market itself has been at less than somewhere around a tenth of a point. So we still see wholesale prices going up on certain vehicles. We see some dramatic shifts on other vehicles in a downward way when it comes to the larger, more less fuel efficient vehicles. We're seeing rather substantial drops.
Look what happened with compact vans last week. That up 1.83%. So obviously there's some increased demand for compact vans. I have to get an email out. I'll send it over to Black Book today asking them to break out this data by powertrain. Mm-hmm. So internal combustion engine vehicles versus hybrids versus EVs. Our supposition is, and for everyone we talk to, EVs and hybrids are appreciating more as used vehicles than anything else, which is fascinating because EVs and hybrids are more expensive than their ICE counterparts. And so it just continues to beat the drum that we talked about earlier this week, which is kind of like the haves and have nots. You want a more fuel efficient vehicle, even if it's going to be a used vehicle? Okay, well, you're going to have to pay a ridiculous amount of money. And the data you shared with me from Automotive News that I'll pull up here in a second corroborates that. You know, the amount that you're spending monthly, it just keeps going up.
And the other thing, it was on the Alex Partners report.
Yep.
You know, the cost of raw materials for an EV was over $8,200 per car, which was pretty close to double what it is for an ICE vehicle. So that to me would indicate that it's virtually impossible to produce a lower priced EV that would be available to more people because of that price point. So I think it's just going to be getting harder and harder for any of these manufacturers to produce EVs in numbers that are affordable to the vast majority of people.
And definitely we talk about that over on the YAA Electric channel, so be sure to tune in and listen there. Now, Dad, this is from Automotive News.
Yes.
The average used vehicle loan payment broke the $500 mark in the first quarter of 2022, up nearly $100 year over year.
Yep, $91 increase in the average monthly payment.
And the average loan term went up by 2 months on average. The average loan term went up by 2 months. All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So not only did the payment go up $91 a month, but the amount of time you're going to have to be making those payments went up by an additional 2 months. Interest rates actually declined slightly from quarter one last year to quarter one this year, but they are higher in quarter one this year than they were in quarter four last year. Loan to value is starting to creep back up again at 114%. The high water mark was quarter one last year when things were going nuts, and it was at 122%.
Yeah, but still, payments going up. And then another piece that ties into this, Dad, I know we're jumping all around, but Ford actually on the F-150 Lightning has a no resale policy. And this is so interesting because we know EV prices are higher.
Yes.
And Ford dealers with this no resale policy, it means that consumers can't go around and turn them around as used cars and sell them for more, which makes a lot of sense when you put comments like this up on the screen. Carvana just offered me $7,000 more than I paid out the door for my Model Y. Like, prices are up. The out of balance, you know, craziness is still there. It's nuts.
The Ford dealers hope that they can get people to sign that they won't sell their car. Doesn't mean that a consumer has to sign that. That doesn't have to be part and parcel of the sales agreement. The dealership can attempt to make it so, but they can't actually force you to sign that.
Let me pull it up on the screen. Let's look at this. Let's take a minute and actually go through this. So this was published just yesterday. Ford F-150 Lightning no resale policy being implemented. Dealers don't want buyers flipping their new trucks and undercutting dealer markups. Another day, another story for dealers looking for ways to gouge as much money as possible out of Ford F-150 Lightning customers. Car Scoops confirmed details of the policy with Ford. The automaker noted that dealers requested the change, but the practice is still subject to local laws and dealers are not required to implement the policy being the no resale condition. Ford did this in the past with a no resale policy on the GT. So again, for a set period of time, I think it was a year, Dad, right?
Yes.
You can't resell a Ford F-150 Lightning if you sign one of these agreements, and depending on the state and local laws. And if you do, then the dealership can come after you for the profit that you got from selling a car.
And this is the point in time where consumers need to say to dealers, I have a legal addendum I need to add to the sales process here. And that legal addendum is, if, God forbid, something happens to my car within the first year, or God forbid something changes in my financial situation and I need to sell it, okay, whatever money I might lose because the vehicle depreciated, you have to make that up to me because, well, I don't want to lose the money. And there's no dealer in the world that's going to sign anything like that, which indicates to me there should be no consumer in the world that is willing to sign anything that says, well, we'll give you whatever profit we make if we sell the vehicle. You know, the car sold, the vehicle sold. Your interest as the seller should end at that point, and your interest as a buyer should be, Mr. Seller, you have no interest in this moving forward, and I will not sign any document that says you do.
Ford's just doing some really interesting stuff. Like, honestly, like they're just pushing the envelope in every direction.
Ford is
this
doing...
part of their corporate culture, Dad? Is this Ford, and I'm just naive because we've only been doing this for 3 years? Like, is this just what Ford's been known for? They just do stuff a little wacky.
Ford, I guess, is subscribing to the theory that any publicity is good publicity. Okay, so that right now they don't care what makes it into the news when it regards Ford. It's a strange company, but most manufacturers are strange. I don't know what to say when it comes. It always seems like I'm bashing Ford. And Phil and I had this conversation last week that people think that I hate Ford. And as I tried to explain last week, I am an equal opportunity hater. I hate most of the manufacturers because A, they're not really partners with their dealer groups. Okay, their dealer network. And they really kind of punt every time they have an opportunity to do what's right by the customer. So
punt and spin, Dad. Punt and spin. Remember that.
Yes. And if you're a left-footed punter, the spin is in the opposite direction, which creates an issue for the punt returner.
Absolutely. Well said. Yes.
Or in this case, for the consumer out there. It boggles my mind.
Let's go to the chat, Pops. Shannon, okay. Thanks for being here. The FAP that I work at is adding an additional 4 extra hours of overtime hours to a full overtime shift worked. This is to aid increased chip goals, mostly to auto industry. So yeah, the challenges with the chip shortage, supply chain shortages, they're still there. It's interesting to get reads like that from folks that are on the ground. Thank you for that, Shannon. Jorge says, does the production cut mean used car values are going up? It's interesting, Pops. We haven't talked about it yet today, but like, we are seeing more inventory on the used car side, whether that's repossessions. Repossessions are just like rental car companies not buying as much. So, you know, if supply goes up and demand goes down, prices should go down. It seems like we're kind of in a steady state, though. At least that's how I read it.
We've seen some statistical decline in retail prices. We've definitely seen some minor, and when I say decline, minor decline.
Very minor, yeah.
It was what, $60, and we see some statistical data that would indicate that there's only minor increases in wholesale values at the moment, and I think some of it or part of it has to be due to even dealerships aren't feeling as strongly about the future and customer sentiment moving forward because of some of the economic crises that are out there at the moment. So I think as that begins to take more hold on more Americans, you'll see less demand. You should see a slightly softening in retail prices. But because there's still a relative shortage and the demand is still relatively higher, we might not see the same type of declines as we've seen in the past.
Leon in the chat here, shout out to YAA. My son is getting ripped off on his car purchase, but you saved him a ton on F&I junk. All right, that's good. That's a win in this market if you're not getting taken for in the F&I office. Steven reminding us here, there's actually a recall on Toyota's new BZ4X. So not only are they cutting production, but they're also recalling their new electric vehicle. Wheel lugs could loosen and wheels could fall off. Affects 280 cars. for North America. Subaru is also recalling their electric vehicle as well. It's 2,700 total vehicles for Toyota, 2,600 vehicles for Subaru in total. That's not a good look. There's only, you know, a few here in the United States, but still, I've asked you this question before. Should you buy brand new model year vehicles? And you've always said, wait a little bit, because they're ironing out a lot of kinks.
Yes. Yeah. The kinks that they didn't know they had because they didn't test them long enough to find them themselves. And so the customers of first model year vehicles are realistically the guinea pigs that the manufacturers are counting on to find out, well, what the issues really are going to be so they can then work on the fix. And I think one of the reasons they do that is to bring vehicles to market sooner rather than spending the additional time to figure this stuff out beforehand and having to delay bringing the vehicles to market.
Want to pull up a comment here from Justice, and then let's switch gears, Pops. Justice says, lack of production now means no used cars in 3 to 5 years, so it really means used prices won't be going down anytime soon. I completely agree, and I still struggle to wrap my head around the ripple effects from what's going on today. Like, there's not going to be off-lease vehicles returned 2 years from now, 3 years from now. The whole industry has worked because that happens. Like, yeah, I don't know what will happen. You don't know what will happen, but a lot of change seems inevitable.
Well, what we do know is that there was 10.5 to 11 million vehicles that were supposed to have been produced last year that were not. There will end up being somewhere between 5 to 7 million vehicles that were supposed to be produced this year that will not. On the low end, that's 15.5, maybe 16 million vehicles over the past 2 years that should have been new vehicles that should have been produced that were not, and had they been produced, would have been sold, which would have created 15 to 16 million used vehicles as trade-ins, you know, or maybe the number of trade-ins wouldn't be quite that high because you don't always have a trade on every sale. But if 80% of the sales have a trade-in, you know, you're probably talking somewhere in a neighborhood of 12 to 13 million used cars that were not generated for 2 years. So yes, it's going to take quite some time to build that back up to get those.
It could be it could be a decade, Dad. Like I think it could be more than a decade, honestly. Like the real ramifications of what's going on right now, and so this industry might look very different in certain ways. Like there's more and more upstart companies just trying to get you to do long-term leases, essentially. Ford and Tesla getting rid of buying your car out at the end of a lease. Like I think we're going to see more transitions like that happen more frequently, mm-hmm. because as a result of all the change that's been brought about over the past 2 years. Let's talk a little bit, just for a moment here, about Tesla. Two chat comments, and then it ties in with an article. I'm confused, Ed.
Okay.
Let me build a case here. Learning Fast says, Carvana's offer for my Model 3 just went up to $63,000 this week. I only paid $61,000 for it, including taxes. That's crazy. So many people buy Teslas to flip them that resale values are really high now. And Chris says here on Tesla, keep in mind the MSRP on them just went up. So if you bought a 2022 last month, the new MSRP is higher. So the Carvana algorithm does not know the difference. Maybe, maybe not. The MSRPs on Teslas obviously do go up all the time. This stat, so Tesla values through the roof. This at the same exact time that you have a headline like this coming out this morning. Yes. Elon Musk says Tesla's two newest car plants are losing billions of dollars. He calls the factories, direct quote, gigantic money furnaces.
Money burning furnaces, yes.
Yeah. I guess, well, they're not mints, that's for sure. Yeah. They're furnaces. I guess I'm just a bit confused, Dad. We see Tesla's appreciating so much, the MSRP is going up so much, yet they're still losing billions of dollars, supposedly. It's just kind of contradictory.
Well, they're losing billions of dollars, if you read a little deeper into that article, because they're having supply chain issues themselves, getting additional batteries and stuff out of China and parts out of China that they need at their factories because of COVID shutdowns and other issues. So that's allegedly what's causing them to burn through so much money. But I don't think it's good whenever a CEO says, oh my God, it's a giant roaring sound of burning money, you know, and that it probably wouldn't be sustainable and could possibly lead to bankruptcy. So those aren't good subjects to have in a paragraph or a story about your company. But perhaps he's trying to paint a more honest picture of how the supply chain is impacting even a company such as his that has seen some phenomenal growth over the last several years.
And Tesla is not the only automaker that's increasing MSRP. From Grant here in the chat, got switched from a 2022 to 2023 on a Cadillac Blackwing order. MSRP went up $7,000 for the exact same spec. And then obviously Grant's question is, will that help hurt or help the used car prices? Obviously that's going to continue to push up used car prices when MSRPs go up, but Tesla is not the only one increasing MSRPs.
May I say, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way when I say it, but the cost of a Hummer just went up $6,000. Okay. They announced that last week. There seems to be no end in sight for the amount of price increases that are going to be associated with these new electric vehicles that are coming out.
Or a Blackwing. Dad, Blackwing's an ICE vehicle. Just
period. So it just keeps pointing out that more and more vehicles are becoming less and less affordable. And if I'm not mistaken, the base price on a Hummer initially was somewhere around $110,000. So now you're approaching around $120,000.
I have a solution, but I have one other question for you. What do you think is going to happen to the Bolt? You know, next year, the Bolt's supposed to be what, starting at $26,000 or $28,000 or something like that. There's no chance it's actually that price.
You would think not. Somebody's got to figure out a way to make cheap, affordable EVs. And yes, there are some allegedly out there, and a Chevy Bolt is one of them. And Chevrolet has said they were going to reduce the price of the Bolt by like $6,000 or something.
Raising the price of the Hummer $6,000.
Yeah. Now, when you consider the fact that for the longest period of time, they couldn't sell Bolts. They wouldn't allow their dealers to sell them, and they wouldn't produce them because there were some real technical issues with them regarding potential fires. You know, and telling people, well, you can't park them in your garage and you shouldn't park them in your driveway. And so if they do catch fire, you know, let them burn in the middle of the street.
Folks that it let live in cul-de-sacs could buy them so they could put it in the middle of the cul-de-sac.
You know, so perhaps maybe that's why they feel there's a need to reduce the price of the vehicle to get people to say, well, you know what? I do have homeowners insurance. The house does go up in flames because of the car. I'm covered.
Pops, I've got a solution for how we're going to drive the cost of transportation down. Okay, you ready for this?
Okay, I'm ready. Really? You got to be kidding me.
Maybe it's slightly sarcastic. GM's Cruise starts charging fares for driverless rides in San Francisco. Dad, the way we are going to get the cost of transportation back down in the United States of America is with self-driving cars. Okay. Yes. You got to hear me out here. Self-driving cars. You're going to tap a few buttons. Then you're just going to sit in it. Not a worry in the world. Actually, because of all the sleep time you're going to get in the car, you're going to pay a premium as far as Mr. Farley is concerned. Dad, we have our first charging fares, first paid driverless car experiences going on in San Francisco. What is your take on this?
Do you have to tip the machine? and what would be the reasonable tip amount? 10%, 15%, 20%? You know how I feel about driverless vehicles and autonomous vehicles. Why not just improve public transportation?
Honestly, that should be our position on this. For all the billions or trillions of dollars put into autonomous vehicles, make public transit better.
Yeah. I mean, and extend public transit out to rural areas. You know, I there's so much change that I've seen in my lifetime, and so much more change that I'm expected to see in the future that it literally scares the crap out of me. I just don't know where it makes sense to leave, I don't know, the driving of a vehicle on the ground to machinery, to computers, to visual aid systems built into, you know, when it was a horse and buggy, there was a guy that held on to the reins, damn it. They didn't just say to the horse, take us home, okay? Somebody has to be in control. And so I'm not in on the that type of situation.
Final thought for today's show. Thanks for this, Silly. I'm a graphic designer. We used, quote, fire sale as a theme for a marketing campaign, and it went so wrong, LOL. Again. Yeah, and then there's also in the chat here, where was it? It was from, where is it? Someone, yeah, Learning Fast Forward just issued a recall for my expedition where you can't park it in a garage because of a fire risk. Yeah, no fire sales. That sounds about right.
No fire sales. And can we just get back to the good old days when, well, cars very rarely caught on fire because there just weren't that many things in there to help create a fire. In my early days in the business, I don't recall anybody ever being told, hey, please don't park your car in your garage. Okay. I'm sorry. We just didn't really have that. And we didn't have these constant drains on your battery in the car. Which reminds me, I need to go drive my car today because I haven't driven it in 2 or 3 days. And I know if I wait any longer, I'll go out there and I'll say, well, your battery's getting low. You need to drive your car. It's just a crazy time in which we live.
You enjoy your cruise today, Pops. Tomorrow we'll be back for our Friday show, hopefully with Miss Kimberly Klein. Have some good news. We end Fridays with good news, so be sure to tune in for that. Otherwise, Dad, enjoy the afternoon, and I'll see you sometime soon.
Well, I would hope so. So we will see you all again tomorrow at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, with more news that you can use from YAA, and hopefully we'll have good stuff to talk about.
See you guys.
See you all later. Take care, everybody.
Join us again next time,
which is probably tomorrow,
to get the news you can use from YAA. YAA is your trusted source for all things auto. Thanks for listening.
See you soon.